This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's Tuesday, June the 7th, 7:07 a.m. I'm Shazana Mukhtar together with Wong Xiaoning. Let's recap how global markets closed yesterday after a three-day weekend for us here in Malaysia.
Well, the U.S. markets actually had a rather choppy day, but it did close in the green. The Dow was up 0.1%. S&P 500 was up 0.3% and Nasdaq was up 0.4%. Meanwhile, in Asia, Nikkei was up 0.6%. Hang Seng had a stellar day. It was up 2.7%. Shanghai was also up 1.3%. Singapore Straits Times, however, down 0.2%. And our very own FBM KLCI, which was closed yesterday, was down 0.8% on Friday, though.
So for some thoughts on what's moving markets, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, good morning. Now, markets were held in check by treasuries that have seen rates rise above 3%. Could you help us understand the dynamics and the relationship between fixed income and the equity market?
Well, number one, fixed income, the returns have been so low for so long. People have always looked to equities for income growth and appreciation. But now that you've got some of these backup shorter durations, even a two-year, five-year, 10-year yield, looking at 3%, it's becoming more attractive to fixed income. But we still like equities. We think the growth, price appreciation, and dividends, you still want to own equity. So, and we're prone to see yields kind of fall back a little bit here. So be careful in the fixed income market.
Okay, so staying on the topic of equities, Joe, where would you put your money though?
Right now, I mean, believe it or not, we still like energy. I like agriculture, anything related to agriculture. Very bullish on defense, cybersecurity, less so the emerging markets. We like semiconductors. So we like a lot of hard assets. We like real estate as well, minerals, metals, because we do think there's a lot of mining yet to come with EV revolution. So think hard assets. Think energy and agriculture and defense, those three in particular. And I would add one more. We've become more constructive on healthcare as a defense play as we go deeper into this year.
Now, Joe, you were hiding the punchline because you said avoid emerging markets. Why?
There's just a lot, you know, when the Fed is aggressively raising rates as they are and going to have to, money is coming out of the emerging markets. And, you know, but whether it's fair or not, you're going to see a lot of political instability about food insecurity coming out of Egypt, North Africa. The whole universe is being kind of slammed by the negativity. However, we do increasingly warming up to China tech. You know, there's some opportunities. China's market, the technology sector, as everyone knows, been really hit hard. We wouldn't be surprised if China tech is a leading cohort going into the second half of this year.
And can we just maybe go to China tech very briefly? China markets rallied yesterday as cities reopened. Is the worst over and is it time to bottom fish there, do you think?
You know, it's a good question. I hope the worst is over. Depends on, you know, the zero COVID policies. But the markets are pricing in more reflation coming out of China. Pick up in growth by Q3, Q4. The government seems to be more in tune with, you know, promoting growth as opposed to locking down. And so you're starting to see that inflow of money into China. And the first port of call, the first place you go when you go into China is big tech.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about energy. Now, because we did see oil prices continue to surge, Brent crude now this morning close to $120 a barrel. Where do you think prices are heading in the near term, Joe?
Well, our oil analysts would not be surprised to see $150 oil. So $150 seems to be a Wall Street consensus, mainstream. It's not really a wild card. But there's a lot of people who feel if we get to $150 per barrel, that just creates a lot of price destruction. That lowers growth, pulls off demand. So I think we can go higher with the summer driving season, and we just need more supply. And or we'll just see kind of we'll start to sag. But, you know, with China reflating, that's definitely give oil this extra boost and bid.
Okay. But then does this mean that we should be looking at some of the somewhat substitutes like the U.S. shale oil companies?
You know, look at the oil, you know, refineries in particular, oil refineries, because they're just maxed out. And there's no capacity. Europe is looking for refineries for the crude oil because they have different grades. So I think the refineries are in very good position. But you know, I think some of that's, a lot of that's already priced into the market, but the earnings expectations, they're not high enough yet for the energy sector, particularly oil service drillers and refineries in particular.
And Joe, while we're talking on energy, overnight we did see Joe Biden give a waiver to tariffs for certain solar imports. Do you think that will have any effect on markets?
Not near term. It just can't. There's so much pressure, a supply-demand imbalance that in petroleum in general. So it's a step in the right direction in terms of renewables, lower the cost, make it affordable. But it's not going to solve the problem at all.
Okay, one last question from us, Joe, and that's, of course, the action of the Federal Reserve. How committed do you think they are in sticking to steepening rate hikes over the next 3 months, considering how, I would say, soft the U.S. market has been in recent weeks?
I think they have to show their credibility. They got to show their chops that they're serious about inflation. So we're looking for 50 basis point hike in June and 50 basis points in July. Now, hopefully they think that's enough for to pause or go 25% after that, 25 basis points. So I think, you know, if they don't back up 50 basis points June and July, then all that tough talk goes out the window, and, you know, then they lose credibility and the markets start to fret even more than they are. So they're going to talk tough. I think they'll back it up near term. But the bigger issue is, like, what's it look like in Q4 in terms of the Fed rate hikes?
All right. We will definitely be checking in with you then. And before that, Joe, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets, looking at a 50 bips rate hike this coming month. Well, this month is, I guess, when the Fed meets again, and that the Fed will continue to stay the course for now in order to maintain its credibility in a very turbulent economic environment.
Yeah, I think there are question marks about whether they acted, you know, too late in the first place or a little bit too much, and now they have to be a little bit too aggressive when it comes to hiking up rates. But I think it's interesting that he's nervous about emerging markets, but less so about China, because you can really see markets that are rallying yesterday on the back of major cities reopening. So if a survey was done on the top 50 cities in China at the moment, and apparently most of those 50 cities are starting to see some economic activity, so like even in Beijing, restaurants are reopening, for example. Mm. But with the zero COVID policy, what does it mean? You have one or two cases, then you lock down the city again. Aren't these disruptions even more painful to the economy?
Yeah, that's true. I was interested that he said that oil could go up to $150 per barrel. That's like the mainstream consensus, which seems really high at this point. But again, if China continues its trajectory of reopening and there aren't any further hurdles despite zero COVID, I mean, we will see energy demand spike up. So will we see $150? I guess that's the target to keep an eye out for.
But this then means that inflation will continue to be a problem. Maybe even stagflation, that's something that that people are so worried about, which was last seen during the energy crisis of the 1970s. So, yeah, lots of questions about that. But one company that reported, I guess, released kind of some good news.
Interesting news indeed. So Apple unveiled a flurry of new software features and services at its Worldwide Developer Conference yesterday. That's a week-long event that was kicked off on Monday. And some of the announcements included an updated iPhone lock screen and a pay later option that pushes the tech giant deeper into finance. This new payment feature called Apple Pay Later is something that was highly anticipated as an addition to the Wallet app.
Now, why are they doing this? Of course, basically, they just want people to remain in the Apple cult, right? Buy more of our products, sign up now for our subscription services, watch our TV and use our wallet. It's an entire ecosystem for what, of course, is one of the, it's probably like the largest company in the world, second largest or largest at the moment. Now, so in addition to that, they're also going to make changes to the MacBook, which hasn't seen much changes in 10 years. So I think probably maybe getting investors a bit excited, because there were question marks about what's new in terms of development. We do know the car is something that they're thinking about, maybe not so soon, but in the near future.
That's right. The car, that's true. That was kind of the talk of the town last year at least. That has seemed to die down for now, but who knows? They make announcements periodically throughout the year. That could be something to look out for in the fall.
Well, as usual, it's a stock that analysts really like, right? So even on the back of the news yesterday, if we talk about it, 36 analysts have buys on this, 11 holds, one sell only. Yesterday, the stock closed at $146.14, up 0.76 cents. The consensus target price for this stock, $186.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.